from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
And now, it's time for the Score Afternoon Show.
That's a terrible name.
So in this time slot, I guess this is no longer the Parkins and Spiegel Show, because the Parkins and Spiegel Show no longer exists. So we're just this is Score Afternoons.
I am Danny Parkins.
Is that the man?
Hanging out with you, Score Afternoons. Score Afternoons is about bringing in anyone and everyone.
That is a delightful lineup of co-hosts that you have over the next couple of weeks here.
I never heard of half of these guys, and the ones I do know are way past the prime.
Most of these guys never had a prime.
The facts are, we lost our best player to free agency. Obviously, it's time for some changes.
This guy here is dead.
Cross him off then.
I think Gabe's debut has been spectacular, but
I'm thinking about calling it Spiegel and Company.
Yeah, it's good to have fun with names.
You know what's fun about Spiegel and Company is it sounds a lot like Skibbity Boppity, Spiegel and Company.
Skibbity and Company Live, presented by Social Furniture.
Sky rockets in flight.
This isn't part of the program.
Afternoon delight.
I'm sorry about this afternoon. That, no, please. No, please, everyone be quiet.
The Score Afternoon Show with
insert host's name here
on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
This is it, man. This is the one. I'm Mark Rohde. He is Rami Makhlouf.
Hi.
We are here to host the Score's Afternoon Show today.
That's what we're doing. I've been looking forward to this.
Today is our day.
I'm pretty excited about this.
Man, like, I've been on with you many times, mm-hmm. just talking Bears.
Yes, sir.
When you have hosted shows. But, yeah, I don't believe we have ever hosted a show together.
Never.
We?
I think I was thinking about it today. I think you and Mully and Ha are the only three people on the station I have not worked with
yet. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll put a shout out to Mully and Ha, see if we can get them into the studio.
All right. Sounds good.
See if Ha can come on by.
Let's complete the circle today.
Let's make it happen. we tried to get Barry Rosner in here, but apparently he did yesterday.
Yeah.
So,
and that was it forever from what he was saying. From what he was saying yesterday, that was it for Barry forever. That's the last time you'll hear his voice on these airwaves.
Barry Rosner. I just picture him literally. Being okay, Barry, that's enough. Barry, okay, that's enough.
Whether by his choice or Mitch's, that is his last time on these airwaves.
I will tell you this, when I used to do Cubs pre and post, and it would be, you know, like there is a certain etiquette in the Cubs radio booth that we would all adhere to.
Yeah.
As time got closer to the game starting, we would start to get serious, as in we wouldn't have visitors in, because everybody would come on through. Ron's got lots of friends. Mm-hmm. I do. We all do. Like, that would come through the booth to say hi, and Pat was always very, very willing to let us all have our friends. He's like, go ahead and do it. You know, it's all good. Just make sure it's not, you know, after the fourth inning. But there was a cutoff in pregame, too. And for some reason, Barry Rosner would always be the last man in the booth. And Miska and I would look at each other like, uh-oh, Barry's about to get wheeled. That's what we called it. Like, and Pat would, in the politest way, he would look back and go, all right, Barry, good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Really good stuff. Time to get to work. And Barry would just have that little Barry look in his eyes, like, oh, okay. He'd look at Miska and I. Oh, I guess he wants me gone.
I'm terrible at that. Like, if I'm having people over and I'm ready for them to go home, I don't know how to signal that. I think Pat just nailed it. Just, all right, well.
That's it. Well,
this has been fun.
Good all to right. see you. Get back to work. Thanks.
Very good, Matt. Thank you.
We called it the wheel, Miska and I. He would wheel people. Oh, Joe Bartosz got wheeled once. Joe Bartosz sitting in there. All right, Joe, good to see you. Take care.
My goal is to not get wheeled on this show today before 5 o'clock.
No, you are.
That's my goal for this show today.
Yeah, I don't have operational powers here at the station.
All right, good.
So,
good.
Yeah, Chris Tannehill is here today. We also have Tyler Buterbaugh. Tyler is a beaut. That is his nickname. He's the beaut. He is a hero today.
Yes, he is.
Because, unfortunately, Shane Reardon is sick. He's got the worst of the sicknesses, and that is the stomach ache, as we discussed earlier. Yes. So they called Tyler. Tyler said, yeah, I'm coming in. So he's doing a double duty with us today.
And we appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that you have your full, you're all bearsed up today.
I'm all bearsed up.
You got your Bears cap on, got your Bears t-shirt.
Well, it's basically football season. Every Monday and Friday during the football season, I get out Victory Mondays, which have been
okay.
Sort of few and far between over the last few years.
Those clothes are pretty clean.
Yeah, absolutely. They haven't been heavy in the rotation over the last few years.
But, oh, my God. It still smells like the fabric softener.
I'm getting ready for the season just like the Bears are. And so Fridays and Mondays, I get out the gear. And it is Friday.
It is Friday. Yeah. And it just sort of struck me from being in the grind of the Bears, being out at all the practices and some of the games and all of them, and just being part of the whole off-season program from a reporter's perspective, it did finally hit me yesterday when I heard, I think it was Chris Emma, doing a Bears report saying, this is the last official day of training camp, even though it's sort of been awkward at Halas Hall in terms of the timing. It's almost been regular season mode. But that's it.
It's like the last week of school. Like, nobody's really doing any, the teachers, the students, nobody's really doing any work, but it's not the last day of school until it's the last day of school.
Totally. Right. Oh, no, it's so funny. Like, somebody on Twitter who was completely correct, because I put out, like, in one of the last practices, recent practices, as we get towards the end, I put just a very brief description of what happened in practice. I just said, blah, 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 Caleb looked good. And the person came back at me and said, it's funny how these reports have changed. First couple days of training camp, we're all like, 5 yard pass, 6 yard pass, 7. Yeah. And now it's just, Caleb looked good. You know why? Because I'm done. Like, I'm done previewing. You know what I'm saying? And we're probably going to do some of that today. But it's like, I'm at the point where when I'm in the wild and I'm talking to friends and family or whomever, and they're like, so what about Caleb? He's going to go, I am tired.
You get a full stat cast. When training camp first starts, Caleb was 4 of 6 today in the 2-minute drill.
Yes.
They picked him off.
Right.
He did get them into field goal range. Like, you get the full stat cast play by play, like the first couple weeks of training camp. Then the last week of training camp is just Caleb looked good.
Yeah. or Caleb looked good, or a player returned to practice, because we're all, it, like, I think at this point, it, and I hate saying this, it is what it is for Caleb Williams to begin the season. Here's what I think it is going to be for Caleb Williams. You're going to see him play exactly the way you have seen him play in the preseason games, and the way I have seen him play in training camp is, and that is, you're going to see him make spectacular plays. I'm convinced of that. But there's going to be errors. Like, we've seen a lot of bad days out at Halas Hall where the defense was better than the offense. And I know there's the adrenaline of the actual game. And I do believe.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Leaving that for Caleb Williams, and I think Caleb Williams is going to be great. I really do, but I think that there's going to be frustrating moments early on, but you'll see the heroic moments.
Do you believe
as
him
well.
When he's, because you're talking about the adrenaline and especially for the first game, do you believe him when he says he doesn't get nervous? I forget who it was, the player who questioned him in the last episode of Hard Knocks. Do you believe him when he says he doesn't get nervous?
I believe him because I don't know that there would be any harm in saying he gets nervous, because every athlete that I've ever spoken to will say, we heard, who was it yesterday? Tory Taylor. Or maybe it was when I was listening to Tory Taylor talk. He talked about how he gets nervous when he goes out there to punt, and he's got 10 seconds of work to do. So I do believe him. I do believe him. I mean, he carries himself that way. Nothing phases him. You know, not like when he's at the podium, like, we haven't been able to rattle him. I guess I rattled him by trying to make him say Bears a little bit. That might have been the only time.
He didn't seem to fully grasp
that.
Seem to fully get his hands around that.
I just wanted to start to feed it to him, get him thinking that way.
The kid will get it. It's like, you're like any great coach. Like, you don't expect him to get the whole thing right away.
Right.
You know? It's going to take time. You got to hammer it. You got to hammer the drill of saying Bears.
I like that you just said that.
Like any great coach. Mark Grody.
Yeah.
Like any great coach.
I appreciate that. Okay, so what do you
just
expect?
Go Bears.
Yeah. Got it.
Bears.
Got it.
He was done. Got it. Can I give you this phone back, please? Yeah. He was like, "Is this like, are we in the 13th minute? Are we done here? I thought we were done here. What's going on with all this Bear stuff?"
I thought it was good advice.
Yeah.
I listened to that interview. I thought it was good advice.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Oh, I don't regret any of it. Trust me.
You're just trying to help.
I was hoping for a better response, but he'll figure it out.
He'll get it.
He's got time.
He'll get it. He's a smart dude.
Yeah.
What are you feeling
for Caleb? Do you agree that there's going to be mistakes, or are you expecting lights, camera, action?
There will be mistakes, and I'm going to give Caleb Williams the grace to make those mistakes and to learn and to grow from them. But Grody, my whole thing has been, I'm ready to give him time to develop and to grow, but that's not going to be an excuse this year for not winning football games. They need to win football games this year. I need this team to be a winning team by the end of the season. And if it's, you know, not Caleb Williams winning games for you, if he has rookie mistakes, if he has growing pains, it's got to be the veterans that Ryan Poles has put all over this roster that can make up for those mistakes. We got to see Matt Eberflus be a better coach and put his quarterback in better positions to succeed this year than what we've seen in the past. People have to pick him up when he has those growing pains and those rookie mistakes, and they got to win football games despite them. When we were having the great debate, remember the town hall? Remember the town hall?
Yeah.
In this very time slot here of Fields versus Williams. One of the arguments was, you draft Williams because you're resetting the clock on the quarterback contract and what that means, the ramifications that has on the rest of the roster. Well, here we are, man. It's year one in resetting that clock. You need to try to win football games starting now, and not, I don't want to hear in year two, well, you know, we had a rookie quarterback, it was a developmental time. No, they need to start winning games right now, despite the growing pains and the rookie mistakes that I expect from Caleb Williams.
Part of the reason why I completely agree with you is it's possible that because we're projecting Caleb Williams to be great, or even just really good, if you want, this year is going to be this might be the only year they have this much talent on their offense, because I don't know if you're going to have the luxury of, you know, I think Keenan Allen, I'd be very surprised if he was back with the Bears next year. Mm-hmm. But right now you have, in theory, Roma Dunze is going to be really good. We know that DJ Moore will be the number one wide receiver this year for the Bears, no doubt about it. Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet coming into his
DeAndre
prime.
DeAndre Swift.
Yep. That is such a great... I don't think that... And honestly, if things go the way they are supposed to go, I think that Caleb Williams will be the one making wide receivers look better. You know what I mean? Like, of course, it'd be great if you could get this kind of talent year after year. But I think right now this is to protect this quarterback. And then going forward, you want the quarterback to make those elite unscheduled plays.
And his part of that is, and I've heard you talk about this, Grody, is hit the layups. You know what I mean? And,
yes.
And the deep shots and the off-time plays or the off-platform throws when he gets out of the pocket and extends it, that's great. And we're going to need to see some of that. They're going to need some of that to win football games. But the first two downs of every fresh set of downs should be about hitting those layups, of hitting the screen, of hitting the hand, whatever it is, the quick play action. It doesn't all have to be spectacular and explosive. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what we want out of our quarterback because, well, we've never really gotten it on a consistent fashion. But the main point for his success in this rookie year, and that's what I mean when I say this roster and this coaching staff picking him up and sort of carrying this thing until he finds his footing in the league. That's what I mean is, like, just count on those guys. Like, lean on those guys. Hit the little dump off to DeAndre Swift. Hit the quick screen to DJ Moore and let those guys do work and do what they do when they have the football in their hands.
I think that all sounds really smart, and I do think just from, again, being out there every day, DeAndre Swift's going to be a big part of things, and he's going to be at a comfort zone for Caleb Williams as well. I thought Ryan Poles put it pretty well yesterday, because I heard Matt Eberflus say, you know, hey man, just get the ball in the hands of your playmakers, don't worry about it. And I get that. Same thing that they told to Justin Fields, and I remember get the ball to DJ Moore, get it to these guys, Mitch Trubisky, get the ball to Allen Robinson. Mm-hmm. The difference is, of course, now I think the Bears have a quarterback that can be the one making the plays. And Ryan Poles yesterday said something to the effect of, yeah, hit some of those layups early, but then, you know, as the game goes on, you carve out time for the special.
Yeah.
And he said, and again, saying something to the effect of the Ryan Poles, like, it's going to get messed up sometimes. Things are going to go crazy. I just like that Ryan Poles sort of sees it our way to the, like, we do want this guy to do the special, but I guess you got to take, like, I'm wanting to skip the baby steps. All right.
Right.
That's circling around here right now, but I know you can't.
That's the urge is you want to skip that. You want to get to the special, spectacular, explosive stuff, but for his development, for his growth. And like I keep saying, for this team to win games, it's going to be about him doing the simple stuff and hitting those layups and letting all this talent around him do what they do.
Yeah. To that end, the beginning of this training camp, or in the OTAs, I think it was, Matt Eberflus set the tone for the entire training camp and told everybody that this year is going to be different with this question and answer to Matt Eberflus.
Has he been told that he's the starter going into training camp? Do you have to have that conversation?
No conversation. He's the starter.
No conversation whatsoever. It was shocking that day. That may have been the most shocking thing we heard, or the most succinct and exact and exhilarating, quite frankly, because in the past, whether it was Mitch Trubisky, no, we brought in Mike Glennon. Here's Mitch, obviously Trubisky. Then with
Fields,
same thing. You're going to have competition with Andy Dalton and whomever. Nick Foles was in the fold at one point. So for him to just say that and not play games, I thought was important, and I think it has set Caleb on the right track too.
I love that. And I love what I've seen of the one-on-one meetings between Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams, because you do wonder with the defensive-minded head coach, what is his relationship? How much of a relationship does he have with the first pick in the NFL draft, who's supposed to be the savior of your franchise for at the quarterback position? And it seems like they do have a good working relationship, and they're developing some chemistry there, which I think is real important. Even though the offense isn't his thing, he needs to have a handle and have his arms around this whole football team in terms of knowing what guys are capable of, what to ask of them, what sort of situations they're most comfortable and will succeed in. So I'm glad that he's sort of making that effort and taking that time to build that relationship with Caleb Williams, because I don't know that we really saw it with Justin Fields in previous years.
From what I understand, Matt, it's a great point, because Matt Eberflus was not really in those meetings with Justin Fields, which I didn't have a problem with because I like the idea of giving some autonomy to your offensive coordinator, delegating the authority instead of no, because we know that Matt Eberflus is a defensive guy. But I have noticed it, and it's kind of irritated me a little bit because I don't know if it's real, but in Hard Knocks, they've made such a point to show Matt Eberflus with Caleb Williams coaching him, whereas I do think Shane Waldron's still going to do the majority of it.
I also think there are things a defensive mind sees that maybe an offensive mind doesn't. And you saw that in the conversations with Caleb. Of they're going to try to do this, they're going to try to do that.
That's the perfect way to compliment your offensive coordinator. And absolutely.
If, do you remember A Football Life, the Bill Belichick one? The conversations with him and Tom Brady, it was very like that, of Bill Belichick telling him, this is what defenses are going to try to do to you. And here's what you can do to counter it.
More on the Bears later on. We're about to get crushed because I'm so late already. No, it's okay, man. It's really my fault. Robert Mays from The Athletic will join me, Mark Rohde, and him, Rami Makhlouf, next here on The Score Afternoon Show.
Welcome to The Athletic Football Show. I'm Robert Mays. Really fun show for you guys today.
I think that the Packers and the Lions are Super Bowl contenders this year. I don't think the Bears are there, you know, for a lot of different reasons, and that's okay. But there's absolutely a path forward for this team as a wild card.
We're here now with the Rams head coach, Sean McVay. Sean, really appreciate you having us here.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm a fan of the show. I've been getting on you for a couple years, so it's finally nice to be on here with you.
You've got so much stuff going on. I feel bad infringing on your time, but I'm very glad.
No, I've always enjoyed it. It's whether I'm working out or even watching film, and shoot, man, you obviously, I respect the work you put in. I can tell you study the game, and the guys that you have on and the people that you have on are people that are working at it. I respect and appreciate that.
Welcome back into the Scores Afternoon Show along with Rami Makhlouf. I am Mark Rohde. We are here with you up until about 5:05. Cubs baseball going to take over. Cubs at Washington tonight. And guess what? We're going to talk Cubs starting at 3 o'clock, try to figure that team out.
Yes, sir.
Talking Bears right now, though. That's right. Rami's all Bears'd up today.
Bears.
Bears cap, Bears t-shirt, and a guy who I know also likes to talk Bears and the rest of the National Football League, and he does it as well as anybody. You just heard him on The Athletic Football Show. It is Robert Mays of The Athletic now joining us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Robert, you ready for some Bears?
I'm so ready. I wish the games were starting. It would be nice to have Labor Day weekend. It's my favorite weekend of the year in Chicago, but I'm really tired of having speculative conversations about how teams are going to do this season.
I actually, Robert, this is bad. I'm going to admit this, and I wasn't going to earlier, but now I'm going to. I got a little bit irritated with my dear mother the other day.
What?
Because she, I know, but this was why I knew that I was so full on expectations and projections and trying to make the Bears training camp as interesting as possible. But my mom said, so I've been hearing about Caleb. Now, is Caleb, he's going to be really good? Or do you think he's going to be good? Is he going to be great? And I was like, oh, man. And I answered the question, and I did, and I gave her a full, and I had a full conversation with her. But I'm like, I am tired of answering the questions about Caleb Williams right now.
It's fun because my grandparents asked me how to sign up for NFL Sunday ticket last week because they live in Arizona now. And they're like, how can I watch the games? And I actually like that part of it. The fact that we have some people coming back into the tent after what has been a rough 4 or 5 years, I think that there is reason to be happy about that, because I know you guys have felt it in the past, but when this team is good and when there is buzz around this team, it's a special city to be in the fall. Mm-hmm. And just the prospect of that over the next couple of years, even the possibility of it, makes me very excited.
That is true, but there's also a part of me that like doesn't want to get hurt again. You know, and, like, get too carried away with this. Do you think it can be too much in terms of just the expectations and the excitement for this season, given he is a rookie? And Mark and I were talking about it last segment. There will be growing pains.
Yeah, I don't think we should be planning on booking tickets to New Orleans anytime soon. I just think that it's about how it feels watching the team every single week and how it feels when you understand that you're on the right path. You know, how many times as a Bears fan or somebody who watches this team or follows this team, a guy turned 37 on Monday. I can count on one hand the amount of times I turned on the game thinking that the quarterback was one of the reasons they could win. Mm. And if that changes and if that becomes the norm, even the prospect of watching this team becomes very, very different from week to week. And if you can slowly start to change that feeling and just change the ratio of how much dread there is versus how much excitement there is, that feels like a win, even independent of the wins and losses.
So is that what you mean by being on the right path? Like, what is on the right path? How does that look to you?
To me, it's two different things. I think on defense this year, you have to become a place that is consistently getting the most out of the players who walk through that building and consistently getting the most out of that unit as a whole. When I've thought about just models for how this can go well for the Bears in terms of how they built their staff, I go to Sean McDermott in Buffalo, right? He cycled between offensive coordinators early in his tenure. They found the right guy in Brian Daboll. They got the most out of Josh Allen. And then when you look at those defenses over the last 7 or 8 years, they're consistently in the top 8 to 10 defenses in the league as they cycle between players, because you've become that sort of unit where you're always going to be relevant because your coach is at the center of it and he does a great job. That's on defense. On offense, you need consistent progress from your young pieces, right? You need to walk out of this season feeling like, man, if Tevin Jenkins stays healthy, he's a building block. We saw a step forward from Braxton Jones. Look what Darnell Wright was. Rome is a player. We know what DJ Moore is. And then if the quarterback shows you what he's supposed to, that's success. Even if you win 8 games this year, even if you miss the playoffs this year, I think it's all about understanding what you have moving forward and what sort of ecosystems you've built on either side of the ball.
I've been referring back to when Tom Brady went to the Buccaneers, and no, I'm not saying Caleb Williams is Tom Brady, and no, I'm not saying the Bears are going to win a Super Bowl.
That's what you were saying back there. Yeah.
But not on the air, oh, Brody. Yeah, Don't bring that on the air. Sorry. No, but when they made that move, and Bruce Arians saying, hey, until Tom Brady figures all this out and we get all the moving pieces figured out on the offensive side of the ball, we need the defense to carry this thing. And I've been saying, if that's the case for Tom Brady, that's certainly the case for Caleb Williams. Now, you said, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, I'm saying if they're going to make the playoffs, this is going to be a winning and maybe playoff season. That's how it's going to have to play out. Do you agree, Robert?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that the best case scenario on offense is probably worse than people are making it out to be. And what I point to is what the Texans did last year. Everyone thinks that the Texans just had this uber successful, like insane offensive season with CJ Stroud. And they were so fun to watch. And he had an excellent season for a rookie quarterback. They were like 14th in offensive efficiency last year. Like, it's all relative when you think about what we typically expect from rookies at that position. So even an optimistic case for the Bears on offense would probably be like the 12th to 14th best offense in the league. And if you're going to make the playoffs with that, you better be pretty good on defense. And we saw flashes from it last year. Mm-hmm. You know, the secondary has a chance to be elite. Obviously, Montez Sweat came in and changed the complexion of how that thing feels. You know, if they can play like the unit they did over the back half of last season, when they were a back half of the top 10 sort of defense, paired with a better than average offense, that is a competitive team that could potentially sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, and they've been talking it up pretty big time about being in that top five, and really the only person that put the brakes on that was Matt Eberflus, because at one point in time during one of his press conferences, when everybody's, oh, they're top five, you're like, what have we done to show we're top five? So I think that they obviously still have to show that they are going to that next level. But I do think that it's a really good point that the defense is such a massive part of this. I love that you brought up Sean McDermott, though, the head coach of Buffalo, just because of some of those horrible, horrible years that they had. There is a comp to Matt Eberflus as well, because Flus had two horrible teams and two horrible rosters, squeaks his way back in this year. What do you think about Matt Eberflus, the head coach, in his third year?
I think that he did a really, really good job turning around the defense last year. That's what I think. I think that he has proven to be a very good defensive coach. I think beyond that, there are still probably some questions. I think there are probably some questions about just the way that the building feels overall, the choices that he's made on the offensive staff. I mean, when you're cycling between offensive coordinators in your first 3 years as a head coach, I mean, that's a question. This is always going to be a consideration for defensive-minded head coaches in this city. I mean, you think about what the Lovie Smith tenure felt like for a decade, and then being unable to find the right person in that role. And if he does, if Shane Waldron is that guy, and they're getting the sort of results that we saw in the back half of last season on defense, then I think you have to feel pretty good about what Matt Eberflus is giving you.
Yeah, you know what? I'll take it even a step further with some of the GMs in this town. All of these GMs have been really good at building defenses. Ryan Pace built a really good defense. Yep. Jerry Angelo built those.
A great defense.
Lovie Smith defense. I mean, he gave him the pieces and made some bold moves. And Ryan Poles has now done the same thing. Notice I did skip Phil Emery because he was historically bad. I guess my point is it always just comes back to who is going to be the magical coach or coordinator that brings offense to Chicago in earnest?
It's a great question. It was supposed to be, oh my gosh. my brain is just fried at this point.
Is it
Mark Trestman?
It was supposed to be Trestman. Yes.
Oh my gosh. We're way too deep into the offseason at this point. I need the games to start. It was supposed to be Mark Trestman and then it wasn't. I will say though, from a team building perspective, Ryan Poles is not Jerry Angelo. If you think about how he has tried to put this together, the Bears had two top 10 picks outside of the Caleb Williams pick in the last 2 years. Instead of going defense with those picks, he absolutely could have picked, you know, a Jalen Carter if he wanted to. He traded out of that pick. They picked Darnell Wright and Roma Dunze with those two top 10 picks because Ryan Poles is not going to be deterred from doing everything he can to set up the quarterback for success. This is a guy who comes from Kansas City, who knows what it looks like when you put a quarterback into a successful situation and how much that matters to determine whether that guy works out or not. So I think the mindset and the resource allocation from Poles specifically has been a little bit different and a little bit of a different flavor than we've seen in the city in the past.
Do you think Flus's seat is hot, or does the rookie quarterback give him a little bit of leeway?
I think it gives him a little bit of leeway because, again, if you look at the history of this place looms large in moments like this, because so many different times over the last 10 or so years, we've seen a rookie quarterback that was highly drafted come in, picked by a certain staff. After that staff falters in year one, they get fired, and now the new staff is saddled with that guy in year two, and he has to start over again. It is hard for me to imagine, unless this is a total out-and-out disaster, that they get fired after this year so they can avoid throwing that wrench of dysfunction into this thing again in year two. If we're in that place in 2025 where it feels like this is stalled out, then maybe I think that you have a conversation. But I don't even want to picture the outcome that would be necessary for him to get fired after this year.
Robert, I hope you enjoy the rest of this Chicago summer, and may you not be asked about Caleb Williams for the rest of the day. And I'm sorry we had to ask you about him, but I thought we had a pretty good conversation. I enjoyed it, man. Thank you.
We only got 6 days or about 9 days until we actually get to watch the games and talk about those. So we're almost there.
Can't wait. Thanks, man.
See you guys.
Yep.
Feel like forever.
Oh, it does. I know. You know what it's like? It's like when I bought my Pearl Jam tickets back in March, and I was so excited when I got them for both of the shows. And then I'm like, what date is today? Oh, the concert's not for 5 months. That sucks.
When that last preseason game was played, it wasn't even a good game, but it gave me a little football. You know what I mean? Just a little football.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, there's how many days? Till they actually kick this thing off?
Yeah. It's been a long preseason, but I think in a good way because the anticipation is so heavy. When we return, Rami Makhlouf and me, Mark Grody, we will talk about the Cubs because I don't know if what is happening with the Chicago Cubs is real. I am interested in the Cubs and the fact that they are 2 games over .500, but I don't know if it's for real. We will discuss the Cubs next on the Score Afternoon Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email.
power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.